The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
David Soul Scrotum Safari.
Yeah, that's why you join us, just as Matt Dyson is saying the words David Soul Scrotum Safari.
That's the holiday I want to go. I'm just looking at
who
some,
wouldn't
some
go on
ideas
that
ideas in a holiday
brochure. David Soul Scrotum Safari. All the scrotums from the comfort and convenience of a vehicle. Safety. Good. Hello, it's the XFM Breakfast Show podcast. Introductions then. This is what you're listening to. And we're just recording this in a little bit of a hurry today because Matt here is doing a half day, aren't you, Matt? Because
I've got to go to the hospital.
Yeah, but the funny thing about it is you haven't told the boss, have you? Or any of the bosses, and you're just gonna get it out
like they listen to me.
Exactly. Matt's got to be off the breakfast show for 3 weeks now because he's having his second child.
Yeah, I've got paternity leave. The great thing about having children is you get 2-3 weeks of annual leave.
Yeah, not if you're free. Not if you're freelance, like me, you don't do.
But you're also off next week, aren't you?
I am off next week, yes. That's absolutely true.
So is Dave.
And so is Dave. Dave's going to Barcelona.
I am.
And I've got to go and write a novel. That's right.
It'll take a week.
That'll be
it. Back it out. I do have to go and I've got a book that I have to write that I'm contracted to do that's supposed to be delivered by about July. I haven't really started it. I'm honest. And if I don't go away and live on my own in a forest in a like writer's retreat or something, it's not going to get done. So
where are you going?
I'm going to a little village just outside Ashford in Kent. It's very glamorous. Yeah, that's where I'm going to go. And I'm going to go and hole up there.
You'd be going to Centre Parks.
I like Centre Parks. Butlins with a lid. on the podcast then. Oh, by the way, Matt, we were going to go to the pub to sort of wet your as yet unborn baby's head.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be nice.
Everyone at the pub together, having a lovely time. I thought that'd be good. And then Matt just went, "No, I'm having a half day. Haven't you heard? I haven't told the bosses, and I've got to go." I'm having a half day, and he's not even coming to the pub.
No, I've got to leave slightly early. I haven't got time. I've got to go and drive.
Why don't you come to the pub? Get drunk.
Drive to the hospital.
Have a drink. Have a drink, go to the hospital. It's going to be better. Just rock up at the hospital a bit late. So, sorry, Katie, I was just having a little drinky. To the wet of the baby's head. She won't mind, will she?
Yeah, I suppose so.
You know.
Why not?
Heavily pregnant women who are about to give birth don't mind that kind of thing.
No. Yeah, they're very,
they're very understanding.
Very forgiving, aren't they?
John said she'd be understanding. You understand me? John said she'd be. John said she really wouldn't mind. I thought you were just drinking. Anyway, what's in the podcast, Joel? Never mind, just play it.
George Groves.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
We have a stunning, says here, acoustic, we'll be the judge, acoustic version of Live Forever that was just Noel and Liam acoustically recorded at an in-store in Paris in 1994. Now, it's not specific about what store it was recorded in. My bet is Tammy Girl. Noel and Liam at the back amongst the training brass, just knocking out a Live Forever.
Just before it was rebranded as ETAM.
ETAM, that's right, exactly. Yeah, exactly that. They're not specific, so it could be that. It might be Lakeland Kitchens, for all we know. We don't know the store. There they are at the back amongst the kettles.
They love a good gadget.
They like a gadget. Oh, look at this, Liam. It opens jars.
Oh, a microplane grater.
Oh, we're supposed to be playing a gig, Liam. Oh, I'm too interested in this melon baller, Noel. I love a gadget.
You got a Brabantia, Arkin. You got a Brabantia.
Brabantia. Too expensive. Too expensive, those bins. I can use Brabantias to play drums. Yeah. What about it? Just put your guitar up, just do that. Can we go down the road? Do it in the Edinburgh Woolen Mill. So we don't know the store, we're speculating, but it could be one of those.
Feel free to speculate as well if you fancy on the text. If you think you can guess from the way it sounds, let us know.
Absolutely right. I think, there might be clues. There may be shop clues in there, I don't know. You know, it might be the tradesman's end of a B&Q for all we know. We don't know. Some sawing and drilling in the background. Anyway, it's the first play of it right now. It's rare. And we're the only place you can hear it for the next 24 hours. So this is from 1994 in a shop. acoustic version of Live Forever recorded in Paris. This is Oasis.
This one's called Live Forever.
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 This one's called Live Forever. Thank you very much. I think that's about it. Nice one.
It was Live Forever. It was recorded in a shop. It's going to be available on the re-release of Definitely Maybe. A lot of love for it on Twitter, but and on the text here. But a lot of people guessing what shop it was recorded in, as we offered. So I'm Richie. Says I would definitely say Live Forever was recorded in Woolworths. So let's decide whether you can actually hear any sound of Pick and Mix in the background of it. I'm going to put it on again. Obviously, there it was. But the listener said, with them having to repeat themselves several times at the beginning, as you heard, they both said, this is Live Forever, this is Live Forever. He thinks they're performing in the customer service department of Debenham.
Whoa.
Well, you can hear that, isn't it? But what we've got, there's also, we've been looking at the album in some detail now, because obviously we've got it in early. And there is actually a version of this in the shop, but with the they actually enhanced the noise of the shop in the mix on it. And it turns out it is a Lakeland kitchen, Matt, that they're
recording.
It was an in-store in a Lakeland kitchen. So I think we can hear that now. But if we just play that version of it, you can just about hear background of a demonstration going on in the Lakeland kitchen. That's Oasis remixed in a blender, that one.
Blender, yeah. It's a Magimix.
Yeah. I don't know what that is, but it's kitcheny, isn't it? It's kitcheny, yeah. Kettle.
With no off switch.
Yeah. It's an old-fashioned kettle, that one, isn't it? That's There it was. That's Oasis there on XFM, recorded live in a Lakeland kitchen. So I think it's fair to say we're the only people who've got that this morning.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
Yeah, a little jazzy. So this music, if you're a regular listener, heralds the largely irrelevant paper review. Of course, many other breakfast outlets, and I'm talking about you, Sky, and you, BBC Breakfast. They fill time, don't they, by leafing through the morning's newspapers, be they tabloid, be they broadsheet, be the ones in the middle, like the Mail and the Express. But they can't leaf through them on their own, can they? They can't leave us to leaf through them either on our own. No, we've got to be guided by celebrities, haven't we? They put some celebrities on the couch, don't they? Staring into Eamon Holmes's fat face. And that's how we're supposed to get our news, because of the insight that the celebrities can bring. But this is where we eschew the bright lights of celebrity news reviewing as we leaf our way through some of the publications that get short shrift on the glossy sofas of BBC Breakfast or Sky News. It's the largely irrelevant paper review. What have you got this morning, Matt? What have you brought in?
Groundtastic.
Groundtastic. Something to do with tastic. Coffee or...
Founded in 1995, this magazine consists of 80 pages packed with articles, photos and news about league, non-league, Scottish, Welsh, Irish and foreign football grounds.
Whoa.
Groundtastic.
Groundtastic.
The Football Grounds magazine.
Right.
What's, the spring 2014 edition is out now.
What's in it?
Reasonably priced at £5. It features on the front cover, great piece about the Scottish junior side, Ben Burb, on the front cover as they enter the final few weeks at the iconic Tinto Park Stadium.
Iconic. Well, yes.
I mean, you can see, if you use my smart pen camera, on online, if you're watching, you can see the front cover.
Yeah, that's attached to the XFM Modern app, isn't it?
It's the grimmest looking football ground I've ever seen in my life. It's got plantation growing in the stands.
It looks like
it's just ridiculous. Yeah, it looks like it's ready to be knocked down.
Well, I've brought in the magazine, specialist magazine for installers, contractors, specifiers and end users of heat pumps for commercial and domestic applications. It's Heat Pumps Today. And as it rightly points out, 2014 is a great year for the heat pump industry because the anticipation about the second phase of renewable heat incentive becomes a reality. The inertia created in the market by the delay to the RHI has been palpable as manufacturers and property owners wait for the incentives details to be confirmed, but now it seems they're going to be. And in Fawcett news, when is water too hot? Dave, what have you got?
Airports of the world this morning, chaps. Airports of the world is a bi-monthly, must stress that, bi-monthly magazine which provides an in-depth look at the layout, activities, aircraft, airlines and people at a wide selection of the world's finest airports.
Yeah.
Which I think we've all been waiting for, actually. Brussels Airport, of course, it's finally added the capacity that it's been in desperate need of for years.
Yes. If you've been through Brussels Airport, you'll know that. You'll know that.
High time. Yeah. It's been quite crowded, to say the very least.
Yeah.
Cardiff Airport, the dragon awakes. It doesn't give any more information, but...
Is this news of a dragon attacking Cardiff Airport? Because if it is, that should be in a bigger newspaper than Airports of the World, is all I'm going to suggest. Perhaps Blue Peter presenter Simon Thomas would like to bring us an insight into the dragon currently attacking Cardiff Airport.
I don't think... That's what it means. I think it's just playing on the dragon association with Wales, I think. But you never know. You never know, John. Also, not afraid to look at the darker side to airports. Baggage handlers, help or hindrance, the exposed truth, which I think is something that does need to be covered. Manchester's chief Ringway Handling Services manager, Wayne Turner, is on for a chat to talk about baggage handling and the dangers of it.
Well, there you go. It's the largely relevant paper review. Rounded up for you again on XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show. With John Holmes, podcast XFM.
Now we need your help. Because it's time once again for the XFM appeal. Now across the music industry, hundreds of bands are facing starvation. And that's because their once fertile songwriting is now barren. The one hit that kept a meagre income coming in is now little played, and many of their careers are dying. But XFM is doing important work in some of the most affected areas. Thanks to you, we've already been able to build a bit of a toilet for Stiltskin. And Terrorvision now have a section of a goat. Yet still, little played bands are going hungry and fear that worse is to come. Here's how you can help the XFM appeal. Just think. Take a moment to realize how lucky you are and just think. You're alive. But many bands you vaguely remember are dying. XFM's projects in the music industry are quite simply a lifeline to these people. We work hard to bring relief to these musicians in the form of almost 44p in PRS fees for every Little Heard song that we play. It's too late for the Rembrandts with the theme from Friends. They're dead. And that one about touching yourself by the Divinyls is so little played anymore that they can no longer touch themselves because they are too weak. This work is urgent. Plays of these songs are getting more and more infrequent. Help us break the cycle of song drought by suggesting bands and songs that desperately need 44p to live. Please help. Just call 83936 on text
or telephone at XFM on Twitter with your suggestions. Remember, your donations count. Thank you.
And much needed help this morning, suggested by Nicole in Milton Keynes. Much needed help going to the Ataris with their one hit, The Boys of Summer. Although sadly they won't get the 44 pence because it was written by Don Henley, not them. The Boys of Summer. One hit for the Ataris. And playing that will really not get them very much money at all because they didn't write it. But it's the XFM appeal. It was suggested by Nicole in Milton Keynes. We can go over to the XFM appeal. Obviously, we run a very busy call centre to raise money for bands that are dying. And I think Matt's on the telephone now, actually. If we can probably go... We'll have to see Matt.
Yeah,
Matt.
White Town. Yeah, Your Woman. Yeah, I do remember, actually. Yeah, it's a good suggestion. Thank you, Andy.
How's it going?
Yeah, thank you so much for your support. Yeah.
Hi, John.
Hi, Matt. Oh, How's it going? I mean, it seems very busy again in there this morning.
Once again, we're being inundated, John. Yeah. It's such an outpouring of support. It's really quite humbling.
Well, people want to give, don't they? People want to give.
So many suggestions. Deep Blue Something, Breakfast at Tiffany's, is one that's just come through. Also, John in Petersham has suggested Tequila by Terrorvision.
Terrorvision, well, that's good, because at least two of Terrorvision have already died of starvation because it's dried up, so that's good.
Lovely. I mean, it's great to see.
That's good. And I think Dave is very busy. I think Dave's on the Dave, on the phone as well.
Very thoughtful indeed. Thank you, Jane. Yes, Bowling for Soup is actually a great shout. Yeah,
that was a good shout last week. We still haven't played.
Yeah,
so,
No, Jane. sorry, John. Just give me a second. Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, Dave.
No, you're not the only fan. I think John Holmes is also a fan of that band. So there are a couple. But thank you very much for your suggestion. Goodbye. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Hi, John.
Hi, Dave.
Sorry.
Yes, it's all right. No, I'd rather you spend your time raising money for these bands.
So, I know. Well, a lot of very thoughtful listeners getting in touch today. Sam and Ivan as well. In the Shadows by the Rasmus, of course.
Of course.
Put it on the whiteboard.
Can you do it, Matt? I'm just a bit busy.
Add it to the totalizer.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We have a Fountains of Wayne.
The Fountains of Wayne. That's in. Add it to the board. We'll get it added to the board. Well, as you can see, it's very busy here in the entirely fictional call centre that we invent using sound effects. That was the XFM appeal.
XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes Podcast.
It's Pancake Day. Pancake Day, isn't it, today? I wonder if that's going to have any bearing on Matt's chuff news. Chuff news. Do you have you mixed it up and are you about to toss it onto the airwaves, Matt?
There's some toss it.
Some
give
showbiz
you that, yeah.
Toss
showbiz
it.
Toss it.
Exactly. What have you?
Well, following in the footsteps of Bonnie Tyler and Engelbert Humperdinck...
Those are some footsteps, aren't they?
Someone called Molly Smitten Downs. Yes, that's right. She's going to represent the UK at the Eurovision Song Contest in May in Copenhagen.
Well, that's a pointless exercise, isn't it? Because Molly Smitten Downs will do that and then disappear from the radar forever, like all the others.
Yes, she will.
You won't hear from her ever again.
We're not going to win, are we? No. I've not heard the song. It's called Children of the Universe. In the past, she's been a singer for a while, this woman, apparently, and she's worked with... She's apparently supported Jake Bugg at one point, which I find hard to believe. Also, Chasing Status, Tiny Temper and Labyrinth, she's worked with. And she was on the track Encore and Foie, which was a dance track, which we can't hear. Sadly,
the computer's broken.
It went Encore and Foie.
How?
It was quite a weird song. It's quite
do
a weird
that again.
Encore and Foie. And, that's all the singing that was in it, as far as I know.
I don't even know what that is. I don't know what you're doing. Are you all right?
I'm quite glad we couldn't play it for that version.
Yeah. Can we have that again?
Encore and Foie!
It's not helping me.
If she can sing that well, we're in... She's from Leicestershire.
Is she?
She's 26, right. And she was on Encore and Foie.
Okay.
So that's...
found it!
See? Quack.
You weren't far off with that, yeah.
Corn,
yeah.
Quack.
In fact, your version was better than that, whatever that was. It's interesting, Eurovision Song Contest, isn't it? Because one of the big winners regularly, I think, is the Ukraine, isn't it?
Yes,
it just makes you wonder whether Putin's gamble is simply to stop them winning the Eurovision Song Contest. Maybe that's why why he's gone into the country. Yeah. If I was Denmark, I'd be worried.
I don't think they'll be giving each other many points in the competition in May.
And Russia, what do you give Ukraine? Nil point.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
Well, but on two sides of the world, really. There are Oscar-related things happening, of course. Pretoria, Oscar Pistorius goes to trial. Well, slightly more glamorously, if you like, I suppose, over in Los Angeles. The Oscars, the Academy Awards, take place. It's very much Oscar night on both sides of the world there, isn't it? And it'll be the usual thing, won't it? It'll be red carpets and people saying, you can be in a film, oh, look, an actress, a famous actress, she's in a film, let's talk to her on red carpet. And they'll go up and they'll go, oh, hi, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? Oh, God, I hate that. Don't you? Who are you wearing? Oh, God.
I saw some coverage of E, I think it was at the Golden Globes, where they had a nail cam. They have a little camera with a little set, and you put your fingers in it.
What?
And it does a close-up of your nail varnish.
Oh, my God, what sort of world are we living in?
It's quite funny because one of them stuck up a middle finger on it.
Good.
And they go all upset.
I know what I put in it.
You present.
I look at the end of that. That's what I think of your nail cam.
I don't think it's zoom in that far.
Get out.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast. XFM.
And for sure it is. So it's Toddler Pops. A tiny child plays a tune on a toy xylophone. You are invited to identify the tune. Or indeed the band or artist who originally played it. And you'll be doing it today for two tickets to the Channel 4 Comedy Gala. Now, that's the one that's in aid of Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity at the O2. It's on Friday the 16th of May. The lineup will include the likes of these: Adam Hills, Alan Carr, Josh Widdicombe, Sean Locke, many more also. Tickets are on sale right now. You can head to xfm.co.uk for more information. Of course, money raised from the tickets will go towards Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity. But if you're a miser and you hate charity and would like things for free instead, why not? Why not get two free now from XFM? Because XFM are the event's official media partner. And that's why we've got a couple of tickets to give away. But before we do, of course, we need to meet and say good morning to Maisie, standing by with a xylophone. So, good morning, Maisie. Hello, are you ready to play a tune?
Just on the world stands on the brink of war. I don't have time for such frivolity.
Right, but we've got tickets to Channel 4's Comedy Gala to give away.
War isn't a laughing matter, John.
Didn't say it was.
Vladimir Putin's saber rattling in the Ukraine is serious. Bilateral assistance from the UN is more important than Michael McIntyre's pithy observations.
But he talks about a mandrel, Maisie. It's funny because we've all got one. He's humorously observed it.
The only thing in Putin's mandrel is a gungeon, and the West is staring down the barrel of it. So think on that.
But XFM's Josh Widdicombe is on the bill.
Oh, all right. I'll do it. Only because I like him. I like Josh Widdicombe.
Sobering stuff.
Hello? Oh, thanks, Maisie. That was really...
Shut up, Dad!
All right! God.
Right then.
This is Tyler Potts on XFM.
So if you were listening just a little time ago, you will know that we were offering you tickets to Channel 4's Comedy Gala, which is in aid of Great Ormond Street Hospital. We have two tickets to give away, and we were doing it by playing Toddler Pops. Of course, we played a tune, a tiny child played a tune on a toy xylophone. All you had to do was identify the artiste that it originally belonged to. Thousands of correct answers, as ever. But there can be only one on line 48.3 this morning. We welcome Anthony. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm not too bad, John. How are you?
Good. Very well, thank you, Anthony. Let's find out a little bit about you. What do you do, Anthony? What do you do when you're not identifying toddler-based xylophone tunes?
I work for a butcher's in Wembley.
A butcher's in Wembley? No, yeah. Yes. And what do you do for them? What are you butchering this morning?
I'm mainly handling pork this morning.
Handling pork this morning? Nice. That's every morning in Matt's house.
Come on.
What? I'm just suggesting you like pork sausages.
Yes, I do. I do. I do. I love them.
Anthony, you think you identified the tune. Before you give us the answer, let's have a quick recap of the xylophone tune. Here it comes. Well now, what do you think, Anthony, in Wembley, for two tickets to Channel 4's Comedy Gala, what do you think that was?
I think it was Street Fighting Man by Rolling Stones.
Let's find out.
That was the Rolling Stones. Street Fighting Man.
Is the right answer!
Woo!
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
Very honoured to be joined this morning by one of Hollywood's finest, the star of one episode of The X-Files in 2001,
where
he played David Sky Commander Winky, and someone for me who will always be the definitive contestant on The Price is Right in January 2000, where he won a desk. Welcome, Aaron Paul.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much.
Still got your desk that you won?
No, I left that in my old apartment. It was just far too heavy to carry.
Was it a proper desk? It wasn't one you had to build yourself, then?
It felt like it weighed over 1,000 pounds. It was a pretty solid desk.
Listen, first cooking crystal meth, right? Now illegal street racing. Right? Mm. When will you ever learn? Right? Come on, these things are crimes.
Yeah, you know, and what's so great is all my characters, they pay for their actions.
Yeah, yeah. How redeeming.
Yeah.
On to a bit about music.
Okay.
Because I saw a tweet you did where Jake Bugg was serenading you in a pizza restaurant. Was that right?
No. My house kind of turns into a pizza restaurant from time to time because I love pizza.
Yeah.
But, I do an acoustic concert series at the house.
Okay.
And Jake Bugg was one of the our performers.
Yeah.
He's such an incredible guy. I had never met him before that night.
Yeah.
We heard that he was coming into town, and we just sent him an invite to play at the house.
Yeah.
And he
does turn up at people's houses. You know, he turned up at the Beastie Boys.
Oh, did he?
He turned up at Mike's house, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the massivest party in the world. He told us this when he came in. And they just sort of had a beer and sort of hung out and watched some telly. And he was a bit mildly disappointed. Are you going? There's a program called Sunday Brunch. Are you aware of this, Sunday Brunch?
No.
Good, you're probably not doing it. And that's wise. But what they do, they get people to cook while being interviewed.
Okay. Right?
And I thought you could have gone on there and just cooked some crystal meth.
Oh.
And that would have got you the headlines around the world.
Yeah, that would have been
the best promotion you can possibly.
If I tried to cook crystal meth, I would blow us all up, I'm sure.
Yeah. Did you, don't know whether you're allowed to talk about this or not, but I'm going to ask you anyway, Better Call Saul.
Mm.
Obviously, it's the prequel to Breaking Bad. Are you going to be in it?
I hope so.
You hope so?
Yeah, if they'll have me.
Yeah, have they asked?
We've talked about it.
Okay, good. Nice.
Yeah, no, Vince Gilligan, you know, our wonderful leader of Breaking Bad, him and I have had multiple discussions about it. It's just really me, you know, begging for a job.
Yeah. If he said, do you want it? Obviously, you're going to go, hell yes, bitch.
Yeah, well, yes, of course. It'd be nice just to kind of zip on the skin of Jesse Pinkman in his lighter, happier days.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
Welcome along. If you're just joining us, it's XFM, your Friday morning breakfast programme. And
And I don't know whether you've seen any of the news, Matt. Have you seen any news, Matt, or heard any news by any chance? But in percentage terms, how much news do you think you've seen or heard?
95%
of
it.
That's most of the news, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you seen the news that BBC Three, Matt, is set to close, isn't it? Set to the axe.
It's on the iPlayer, isn't it?
I was modern. It is modern. I was. I forgot to do this yesterday, but I got a phone call from BBC News to go on BBC News and talk about the closing of BBC Three. That actually happened, and I genuinely just forgot to call them back, and then about 8 o'clock last night I remembered. Oh yeah, supposed to have done that. Didn't. Oh well. But let's talk about it now, because it's a lot of people are saying it's a shame. A lot of people, most of the people, it seems, looking on Twitter, it's most people that have a job on BBC Three, of course, or a programme, that seem to be annoyed by this. But the reason that I think in all seriousness, it's quite a smart move, because all it's doing, surely, is moving, as they've said, BBC Three will move online. And that's the future of television anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I mentioned this yesterday, if 25 years from now, I don't think BBC One will be broadcast on a terrestrial platform. I think that'll all be online as well. It's the future, Matt. It's, we're staring down the barrel of the future.
It's the start of it.
The BBC made a bold move. That generation who watched BBC Three, that mindless generation, they don't watch television anyway. They watch everything on their tablet, don't they?
Yeah, they watch
on their smartphone. Everything's got to have a screen. I mean, double screening. And that's what they'll be doing. They'll be watching it all online anyway. So it's making no difference at all to them. The budgets have been cut, yes, but some would say you don't need a lot of money to make programmes like My Dog Is in a Borstal, or whatever it is that they do. You don't need to pay Robert Webb a lot of money to look at movie mistakes. He only turns up in a studio, takes him an hour, just reads out some script someone else has written, doesn't he? You don't need a lot of money to just play EastEnders again, do you? You don't need a lot of money to show a series of, you know, the world's most fat boyfriends, or whatever it is that on BBC Three. Because that's the sort of you've got to have keywords to make a BBC Three programme. I don't know whether you ever noticed that. Now, the keywords, as you mentioned yesterday, but hairy, that's one of them, isn't it? Body, trapped, tumour, that's one. 35 stone, skin, Nazi, fat, Ross Kemp, those sort of things. But let's look back now on some of the best BBC Three programmes that that we've enjoyed over the years. I think all the papers are doing that, so we might as well join in. Do you remember, Matt, early on, that brilliant programme, My Baby Is Racist? Do you remember that?
Oh,
it was good, wasn't it? Do you remember? What a great...
Groundbreaking.
Yeah. It was, you know, the baby was... You remember, it was born racist, wasn't it? It came out, because its parents obviously were, and it just inherited that, and it came out, and it just, you know, and there was... There was a minority midwife in the room, and he just started screaming at her, didn't it? Screaming. And they went, "That's a racist baby," and they made a documentary about it. Remember The Day My Son Died and Survived It? Do you remember that? That
was yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Bit of...
Great show. Well worth the licence fee, that one.
Yeah. Transgender Hot Borstals. Do you remember that as well? That was good, wasn't it?
My favourite was Dorno Porter's Porterloo Pop-Up Spray Tan Salon.
I know, that was good. Well, she travelled around the country with it, didn't she?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It was great. Yeah. She had some celebs come in. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good. What did you enjoy, Dave?
Do you remember the Fly on the Wall documentary set in Grimsby, Lonely, Horny and Living with My Vicar?
But mate, I love that.
Yeah,
that was groundbreaking stuff. This morning we think, share your memories of those BBC Three programmes, 83936 at XFM on Twitter. Remember the boy with the gay stomach? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Great that, wasn't it? It was really good. You know, it was a searing insight into people with gay stomachs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you remember hairy 35 stone Nazis and a packet of crisps? Remember that? That was good.
No, I keep meaning to watch that.
It's on iPlayer, Dave. It's on iPlayer. Yeah. It's online now. It's all moved online now. It's where it all is, where the action is.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, the waiting's over. Here we go.
Grove, such a tremendous finisher. Is he going to take his man out now? And another big right hand.
Oh, body shot. That was sweet.
Oh, beautiful
shot.
Groves will try to finish it here.
Cracking right hand from Groves, and good night.
Referee's looking. It's all over. The fight is all over.
George Groves, Jim, is going places.
George Groves, welcome to XFM. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I see you brought your cracking right hand with you as well, as we learned from that bit of commentary there.
Yeah, what a build-up. Got to... Oh, it's ready to ring walk now.
Well, you need to. You're going to have to get used to this all the time now, because we were talking about this on air yesterday and that you were coming in today, because obviously the big news this week was that there is going to be a rematch between you and Carl Froch. None other than Wembley Stadium, right? So you must be thinking... Okay, how did that happen? Wembley Stadium, how did that happen?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. Like, the last fight went to the MEN Arena, or yep. the Phone Fever Arena, I apologise. good plug for both, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's like the biggest indoor sort of arena in the country, and yeah. they sold out in 10 minutes, so said, right, we need to go bigger. And it don't really get much bigger than going to Wembley, so
the only place that's bigger than that is on Mars. That's the only place that would have...
I did push for that as well.
Well, look, for those that don't know, let's recap slightly what happened last time. Because you went in as the challenger, and this was last November, wasn't it? Am I right? So
yep.
there's no point in me talking you through it. Give us the background to what happened.
Right, so I got made mandatory for the IBF. I was ranked number 7 at the time with the IBF, but ranked higher with the other governing bodies. Because I was 7, Carl Froch felt that I did not deserve my shot.
Yeah.
And
fighting talk.
Failed to comprehend the challenge that was in front of him, and then probably slowly started to realise that he was in a real fight right up until the ring walk. We did the ring walk, he got in the ring, he hid in the corner behind an entourage of brothers and cousins and bodyguards and everything else, and then the first round happened and... he was seeing stars.
Yeah. Well, the crowd changed, didn't they? Because they saw... Even the crowd, I think, it's fair to say, were like, OK, who's this guy?
Yeah, you know, every interview we did, I was very aggressive. I know I was coming across a bit obnoxious and not really my usual character, but everything for a reason.
Yeah, well, that's the boxing way, isn't it, though, Georgie? The trash talk is part of what everyone enjoys about this.
Yeah,
kind of
thing. I think there's the difference between real trash talk and the fake stuff. The fake stuff don't really sell well. This stuff, like, this fight's so big because... Yeah. It's all real. It will be interesting to see what the reaction is come May 31st.
Yeah. Be honest, do you actually loathe him?
I sort of nothing him, you know?
Like, okay.
If that's the best way to describe it. So you don't like someone, you don't dislike someone, we're going to fight. That's what it is. If we didn't box, I couldn't sit in a room with him. He's not really my cup of tea. I think he talks about himself too much. You know, I've heard his life story. I'm never going to buy his book. So, you know, if you sat and listened to any of his interviews, you'll know exactly who his trainer is. You know, when he was born. You know, who he's boxed and the rest of it. So,
does he ever mention who one of his best friends growing up was, by any chance? Because let me give you a clue. It's Matt Dyson. Would you believe we only found this out?
No.
I know. It's all right. No, this is good. It's good. Because we're on your side, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. I mean, that's a given, right? But Matt, who's from Nottingham, right, has a slightly...
You can't punch someone because they're from Nottingham.
But Matt, tell us the story.
Well, the thing is, when I worked at a radio station in Nottingham, he's like a local folk hero. I'm a Forest fan, he's a Forest fan. It's the only time we'll ever get to go to Wembley, which is, to be fair, is something he's done for Nottingham. And, and I once carried his belts out of the Nottingham Arena, or the Capital FM Arena.
See what we're putting up with?
Sponsor. And, so I was part of his entourage in the dressing room beforehand. So I'm finding it hard to switch allegiance, even though, I mean, you know, you're at XFM's fully behind you.
George, we'll go to some music. If you don't... Can you just hang around there? You're not busy, right? You haven't got anything to do, training or anything?
Nothing at all.
Fine. We've helpfully hung up a hunk of meat in the corner, like in Rocky. So if you just want... I say hunk of meat.
Yeah.
Matt. So if you just want to go and punch that...
That's not the first time he's described as a hunk of meat, is it?
then we'll come back and talk some more in a minute.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast XFM.
That ended a bit abruptly for us all, didn't it? It wasn't too busy there looking at all of the mighty texts and tweets that have come in. I wasn't really concentrating, I'll be honest with you. Look round, music stopped. Just as I was getting to... who sent this in? Lloyd, I think. Lloyd sent this in. Remember the BBC Three programme? That's what we're looking for, by the way, BBC Three. Generic programme titles of BBC Three programmes that you remember to commiserate the fact that BBC Three is going to be axed in the form that we know it and move online. But it won't stop them. It won't stop them making programmes like Lloyd's Suggestion, where David Soul goes around Britain looking at people's scrotum. David Soul's Scrotal Safari on BBC Three. Kevin is in Shoreditch. He remembers his favourite programme on BBC Three was Gavin and Stacey in the Bowl of Car Keys. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Someone else hasn't put the name on it here. Do you remember the series My Belly Button is Haunted? That was good, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Groundbreaking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The week my chronic cough became number one hit in Thailand. That was it. Jeff Krepps on Twitter with that one.
Jeff. The boy with his face on backwards, says Lee. He used to love that. He loved that one, the boy with his face on backwards. All the inside of the face without front, wasn't it? Because he was born with it backwards. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah, and his nose was smelling his own brains. Do you remember?
It's
really interesting.
Weird, wasn't it? Yeah.
Fascinating freaky. Medical insight, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was freaky TV, wasn't it? Kev says, my favourite BBC Three programme was the groundbreaking insight into the lives of obese transsexual vampires from the Welsh valleys.
I remember that. That was I was on just after the reality series My Life as a Nymphomaniac in Cornwall, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to love that.
Great doubleheader.
Great, yeah. Well, in that last scene there was, yeah. A3936, please. A lot of these we can't actually read out, you realise. They're actually just plain wrong. But your suggestions, please, on 8393, so at XFM on Twitter for BBC Three programmes that you're going to miss now it's been axed.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. Podcast.
Yeah.
XFM.
We'll trash talk, Matt, at any point, because we do it all the time anyway, as you know. And the reason you know, of course, is, let's get back to this, is that you listen to the XFM Breakfast Show, which is how we sort of found this out.
No, I do. I love XFM. I listen to it on the way into the gym. Puts me in a good mood.
XFM puts people in a fighting mood.
I'm waiting for something aggressive to come on some sort of...
What do you like musically?
Well, you played my intro. I do like a bit of Prodigy. I've always had that as a ringwalk music. I'd love to be able to... If there's anyone who knows anyone from the Prodigy, if we can get them booked for that night.
We can see
what we can.
Sure, we can.
You know, I'm pretty sure they're not interested in boxing, but if they are, then they're more than welcome to come down.
But this is the biggest fight since, like, Eubank and Nigel Benn, isn't it? This is huge.
It definitely is. Like, the thing with anything nowadays has changed. Like, there isn't so much stuff on terrestrial TV. So many people are now watching so many different channels. Some people don't even watch channels. They sit on their laptop all day watching YouTube channels. So to have such a big fight, you know, in this era... is a great thing, really.
It is. I mean, it's made headline news this week when it was announced, of course. And the tickets go on sale on Monday. And how many capacity is Wembley State? Is it 90,000 or something now?
90,000. I think they're set up for 60 to start with because they're not used to having events that go on so late. So obviously, people have to get home.
Because it's starting at 10 p.m. or thereabouts.
I think we'll ring walk about 10 p.m. Yeah. So it has to be done and dusted by 11 o'clock. No, I promised him we start a bit later. It's not going to go past three rounds, so pick a round and we're done. But I think if the 60,000 go, then they'll look to open it up a bit more.
Yeah,
yeah. We'll fit as many as we can.
Look, it's been lovely to have you in. It really has, and we're gonna if it's all right with you, we're just gonna keep coming back to you up and until you win.
Please do.
And XFM will be the breakfast show. We're committing ourselves, right, Dave?
Yeah.
We're committing ourselves to be your official. Backing radio station. You probably haven't got one of those already, have you?
No.
It was either us or Heart, wasn't it?
So it was a tough call. Luckily, you called me before Heart did, otherwise...
And also, I saw you floor Jamie Thixton on the way in, so that was never going to work. George, it's been brilliant to have you in. We will... we'll talk to you very shortly indeed, I guess.
There
we go.
Very much.
George Groves, soon to be champion on XFM.
The XFM Breakfast Show with John Holmes. podcast.
And that was that you were listening to there with your ears was the XFM Breakfast Show podcast. Matt decided to hang round in the end to listen to the podcast with us here, and he's drunk out of his skull, aren't he, Matt? All drunk, and he's now got to go and basically pull a baby out of a woman.
Yeah,
with his all drunk hands. John said it'd be fine. I've just... No, just squat! Just squat! And I'll pull it out myself. We don't even need to go to the hospital. I've been watching a birth video on the internet. It's going to be fine. Anyway, we'll see you in a few weeks, Matt.
Yeah, bye.
Good luck with
bye.
It.
If you like this podcast, why not check out some of the other great ones available to download at xfm.co.uk.
XFM.
Ellis James and John Robbins.
Ellis James, as John described me earlier on, Poor Talbot's fourth best after-dinner speaker, or Carmarthen's second best anecdotalist. John is Bristol's most sensitive man.
Unless I have been drinking, in which case I may give you short shrift.
Yeah, and I know that for a fact. I've been told some terrible things when you're drunk. Yeah, I like the way that we're only 2 weeks into the show, but John has already created this narrative that I am this sort of unreconstructed caveman who doesn't listen to women and doesn't have feelings.
What was the last thing you watched that made you cry?
Educating Yorkshire, the Boy with a Stammer.
I watched that and didn't cry.
Oh, well, the tables are turned.
I found the teacher mildly cretinous.
Oh, what were you on about? He's an inspiration to young kids in Shipley or wherever that's based.
He nicked an idea off Geoffrey Rush.
Yeah, to help a young boy who was struggling with a GCSE oral.
My teacher mimed to me in my GCSE French oral. She mimed that for driving.
Sorry, John is doing the mime to driving. We're on the radio, mate. You can't do a mime and then explain.
All right, well, she mimed that for driving.
Sorry, John just did a very rude gesture, but an old-fashioned one, which I haven't seen for a long time. Didn't realise I was part of anyone's mime vocab anymore. Oh, and do you know what? Still as hurtful as it was in 1991.
Music that rocks.